from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Jeffrey Wright and Company, live from the Red River Toyota Studios. Check out Red River in Wynn, Arkansas. Jeffrey and Company on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mike Sando is senior NFL writer for The Athletic, also Hall of Fame voting selector, votes on all the big awards in the NFL, also the host of the Football GM podcast. Download, like, subscribe. You know the drill. He's on Twitter, on X, at SandoNFL. Mike, we referenced your story yesterday on the quarterback tiers, and I think we should probably just start with the first question for me. Do we actually just need tier zero for Patrick Mahomes just to separate him from everyone else?
We really might. And there were some ballots I got from guys, you know, in the league who only had him as their only guy and won. I mean, he is unique. He's unique and really, not going to sound too hyperbolic here, but you can't name very many quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, let alone multiple Super Bowls, on teams that didn't have really good defenses. And that was him in 2019 and 22. It just doesn't happen. And it's because it's really hard. But he is special, and he's able to do it. And then last year they got a good defense, and they won it again.
Well, to me, it's almost like last year might have been, if you're a fan of an AFC team or anyone that doesn't like the Chiefs, I actually thought last year was the most depressing of all the Super Bowls because, yes, that defense was great and those corners really did shut down the Niners, but that just didn't really feel like the best team he's ever played on. And to me, it's like, in that team still wins a title. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's just inevitable.
Yeah. They won an off year. I think the team that really has to be crushed the most was Baltimore because they were dominant during the regular season. They had a great defense. Everything was coming together. And I think they scored 10 points.
I mean, not only that, it's like, and it just felt like the whole time that they were just completely in control of that game, which kind of brings me to Lamar and the fact that he's in tier two. And something that's kind of stood out to me as we get into peak offseason content, which is rankings, let's be clear. I feel like most executives and the roster types have Lamar kind of tier two. But I feel like whenever we see a player's list, players always have him as, like, the number two player. I mean, I think I saw one list where he was ahead of Mahomes and whatnot. What do you think the disconnect is there?
Having a criteria?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. It's kind of like when you have MVP voting. What's the criteria? You know, there's not one, right? If I want to think this guy's most valuable, you can argue the other one. The quarterback tiers that I do were, you know, developed from talking to coaches, executives, and some players, too, in the early stages, just about what are the critical dividing lines between these different gradients of quarterbacks. And so for the tier one quarterback, you know, you're carrying your team every week, team wins because of you, and you expertly handle the peer pass situations, which has been a little bit of a struggle for Lamar compared to some of the other guys, in that, one, they haven't been in those situations a lot, and two, when they have in the playoffs, it hasn't gone well for them. It hasn't looked good. An extreme example of that, it would be like Tua Tagovailoa. Like, when it's right for him, unbelievable, they're playing in the system. When he has to pass, really, really breaks down, and to the point that Tua is the top of tier three. Lamar is right on the cusp of tier one because people do think in the league that he's so good, he's so dynamic. But the game of quarterback gets reduced to, at its essence, at its most difficult, to passing when the defense knows you're going to pass. That's been a little bit of a struggle there. And so last season, even though they had a great defense, great special teams, they fell short when they were in that situation. That said, he's fourth on the list of these quarterbacks in the whole league, and he's within about two or three votes of being in tier one. So he surged up because people think highly of him.
Yeah, to me, it's always been like, okay, if I have generic franchise and Lamar is available, I have no problem taking Lamar. If the guys, the other three, I mean, honestly, I have it exactly how it's ranked here. It's like 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think you can argue with 2 and 3 if you're someone that's bothered by Joe's with Burrow's injuries, like, I think that's completely fair. But if you're someone that goes, hey, man, Burrow's gone head-to-head in a playoff game, and he's knocked off Mahomes, so I give the nod there. Like, I'm fine with that. Lamar makes you relevant, but it just does feel like inevitably you're going to get into a situation where he has to beat you with his arm. And, again, that's the reason we play the games. Maybe he does get better, but it's just like I feel like –
Yeah,
I feel like you can feel the tension. I felt like in that AFC title game, I could feel Lamar's nerves through the TV screen.
I could too. You know, I think that though he did make progress as a passer, and their offense did, they went to more of a three receiver offense. I think he had a good passing season on the whole. But you're right; it's a little bit still playing left handed for them as a team, because they've really, if you think about what a great job they did when he was coming out of college, because he had a specific skill set, but he wasn't ready to be. The passer that he is today when he was a rookie. So they totally changed an offense and reinvented it, and it was awesome. But now they've tried to grow out of that and expand from that, and I think it's been successful. I think they have done that. It's just, you know, in one season, do you think they suddenly become comfortable fully in that type of a setting? Now, what's interesting this year is, after that playoff loss, they didn't go out and sign a Nutter OBJ. They went and got Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They're almost signaling like, hey.
Maybe we're going to go back to it. Maybe if it wasn't broke, don't fix it. Let's see if we could be better that way.
Let's do that. And then let Lamar continue to grow and have rapport with receivers and hopefully have a better outing the next time.
I do think it helps that a franchise that I think has so much draft success, the fact that they had been so poor drafting receivers, and it does feel like now with Zay Flowers, they've hit on one. I think that helps them to a certain degree.
Yeah, it does. It does. It just hasn't been a place where a lot of receivers have wanted to be. It hasn't been a receiver-friendly offense. And, you know, to whatever extent that's just the offensive design, or it's Lamar, or some combination, we'll see over time. Because ideally, he's still a young player. Ideally, he'll be there a while and get to have multiple swings of this thing, and hopefully for him and them, develop and break through.
How polarizing was Josh Allen?
Not very. No, I don't think so. I think Josh Allen, you know, got 11 votes lower than Tier 1, and those would be people that think he's a little too reliant on taking off and running, which can dry up on you in those critical situations we talked about, and then that he has, you know, more turnovers and more kind of negative plays than you would like. And sometimes that kind of bites him and is a product of him playing too aggressively. I think this season will be a great test for that. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is not there. The team is probably, you know, more on his back even than it's been. And we'll, you know, I think he can carry it. Can he avoid some of those, you know, kind of head-scratcher plays that maybe lose you a game here or there?
The thing that's fascinating to me about Josh is, when you go through, like, the course of the season and you chart, like, if you're just looking at the stats at the end of the year and you see the turnovers and you're like, okay, he's turnover prone. The thing, though, is when you go through, like, all 17 games, it's like he'll give you, like, a four-pick performance against the Jets. Or it's like every time they're playing as a big favorite, he turns the ball over four or five times. But then all the games against playoff teams, it's like he's really, really good. But it's almost like, like when they get in the games and he thinks they should be blowing them out. He's like, ah, screw it, I'm going deep.
I can see that. I think it could feel a little bit like that. I think he does have that in him. He's got a little bit of a wildness to his game. I think he enjoys playing the game. I think he wings it sometimes. But we really used to see that a lot early in his career, you know, and I think it was a huge detriment then because he wasn't as consistent of a passer, as consistent of a player. Now, he makes enough plays consistently that you would just like to weed out a few of them. They're not all going to go away, but just weed out a few of them.
Does C.J. Stroud feel like the type of guy, if he shows this year, last year was no fluke, that we're already moving him up to Tier 1 after this?
Yes, I think that there's a lot of football to be played to determine that with teams now that are wise to Houston and be better prepared for them and that, and we'll see. Sometimes you make a big surprising season like that, and then you have that thought, hey, let's load him up with even more, let's really go here and ask him to do even more, and he's still a young player, so I think it just remains to be seen. I think he benefits a little bit from the fact that the expectations there were so low. People thought the team was bad. And people questioned the first-year coach, the first-year offensive coordinator. And so when they won and he played well, I think he got a lot of the credit for it, deservedly so. But in retrospect, they were pretty good on the offensive line. In retrospect, they were pretty good at wide receiver. In retrospect, D'Amico Ryans maybe did a good job. Maybe the offensive coordinator was pretty good. And so how much more of a jump, how much better are they going to be in the second year? I think, you know, this, we got to watch it. We got to see it.
I think you hit on a real key point for me. How many rookies have a left tackle as good as Laremy Tunsil? Because to me, it's like when you watch CJ play, he just doesn't really have to worry about the left side. Like when his first read's not there, he's kind of buying time. He'll kind of drift right because he just doesn't have to worry about the left side. And it's like, to me, that's such an underrated part of being a young quarterback. When you know that you've got a left tackle like that, it just helps. To me, it helps development at a much higher rate than we see with other guys.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, exactly. He had better protection. I think he also showed he can handle, you know, the pocket and win from the pocket, which is can be hard for especially young guys to do. They like to bail out of there a lot of times, but he did a nice job with that. But had good protection too, and some good players up front gave him a little bit of a head start over some of the other guys we've seen come in and just sort of be, you know, washed away to sea.
We're talking with Mike Sando of The Athletic. We're talking about his quarterback tier list. Mike, we'll wrap up with you on this one. What's the proper way to view the Brock Purdy discourse?
Well, that if you're, yes, you can be on a really good team in a great situation, but if you produce consistently at a high level, you get some of the credit too. So, you know, Brock Purdy moved up into tier two. Feels about right. He's kind of the lower part of tier two. I think if he does it again, you know, he'll inch up a little bit more. And then what'll happen, it'll be interesting, maybe he gets paid. Maybe there's no Trent Williams, right? Maybe one of the receivers is gone. Maybe Kittle's winding down. The team complexion changes, and then we'll get maybe a little bit of a heavier burden for him to carry. And then we'll see how well he does. And if he's able to keep them going with a really good offense, then who knows how high he ascends.
Mike, really appreciate it. It's one of my favorite pieces every year. Thank you, my man.
Thank you.
That is Mike Sando of The Athletic, also host of the GM podcast from The Athletic as well.
You're saying that's a tier one piece every year?
Yeah, that's a tier one piece. Tier one. That's not, that might even be tier zero. Tier like zero. Just like Mahomes, like that's one of my all-time favorites. Also, I see the rest of the league catching up with Herbert, just saying. There was somebody that was there first.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.